Welcome to another edition of Sportsline on this Tuesday, November 12th, 2024 in WMIC, 95.3 FM and streaming online at salientbroadcasting.com. I am your co-host, Eddie Fury, along with the other co-host, the true main host, Salient County News sports reporter, writer, editor, you name it. He is the hodgepodge of writer there at Salient County News, Mike Gallagher.
Hodgepodge of writer. I like that. That's a good word for it, I guess.
It's a new word by Eddie Fury this week.
Yeah. The hodgepodge of writer. Yeah. Okay.
You do it all. So, yeah. How you doing? Good?
I'm good. Yep.
Yeah.
It's a fun time of the year.
Well, if you want to be busy, yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean.
you get your grace period on Wednesday, maybe. So, yeah.
Well, tomorrow. We actually, we have our all-thumb volleyball meeting on Wednesday.
You do.
So, not something that's, too serious or anything, but that'll be fun. We've already been talking about it in TSA group chat for the past couple of days.
Have you? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been around too much, so.
No, well, you're busy.
Yeah. Speaking of high school girls volleyball playoffs, the regional semifinals taking place tonight. Some Salient Lake Broadcasting coverage area teams that we cover in the Blue Water Area Conference and the Big Thumb Conference have moved on to the next round, but how quickly it whittles down right now.
Yeah.
Taking place tonight, Division II Volleyball Regional 15 at Marysville High School in the semifinals. You have Richmond up against Warren Regina and Harper Woods versus Detroit Country Day. The regional championship games, by the way, are all on Thursday.
Quick note on that one, Eddie. Yep. I saw that was the first district title since like 1988 for Richmond. It was either 86 or 88.
Really? Yeah. It's been that long?
Yeah.
Is it because they're not, they weren't playing any of their BWAC opponents for the most part?
Yeah, they're usually in a really tough district, and I think they beat Marysville to win that title.
They did.
Okay, well, that's probably why they haven't won one for a while then, because Marysville is very good. So I know we don't really cover Richmond, but I saw that and I thought that was pretty interesting.
You kind of do because you have to keep track of what everybody's doing at BWAC,
Right.
For basketball, too. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So I saw a couple practices already starting basketball.
It's starting, man. Ooh. Yeah, and we'll get to it a little bit later, I'm sure. But we got Legion hockey this weekend, man. Aren't you excited?
Oh, is it? Well, they got the ice done. Is it not melting anymore?
They got the ice done. Okay. They got the ice done. They got the roster finalized.
Okay.
It's a really exciting time, man. Legion hockey, we talk about it a lot on this show, but should be another fun season.
They play on Saturdays and also midweek sometimes, so yeah.
Yeah, yeah, usually Thursday to Sunday is kind of their window for games.
All right, so back to volleyball.
Yes.
Division 2 volleyball regional 16 at Croswell Lexington High School. Semifinals has North Branch up against Mount Morris. The other semifinal tonight has Frankenmuth versus Linden, regional championship game on Thursday as well. So Croslex gets to host one. Unfortunately, they didn't move on.
They're in the toughest district in the entire state, with North Branch and Imlay City. It's kind of funny because during the regular season, Imlay City finally beat North Branch. It was the first time North Branch had ever lost in BWAC play. We were kind of joking about it. That might have been the worst thing they possibly could have done, because then it just motivated Jim Fish even more because North Branch came back and beat them in the BWAC tournament, and then they beat them in the district tournament. You're not going to beat North Branch more than once in a season. But that's 20 district titles in a row for North Branch, which is just an absurd number. So looks like they're going to go on another run. It'll be tough with Frankenmuth or Linden, Mount Morris. That's a team that's usually in the regional conversation, but this isn't anything that North Branch hasn't seen before. So,
Division 3 volleyball regional 23 taking place at Bad Axe High School, semifinals tonight. Cass City Redhawks up against Grosse Pointe Woods, and Brown City up against Rochester Hills Lutheran. Some tough matchups for both teams.
Yeah, I obviously don't know anything about Grosse Pointe Woods University Liggett, other than it's a very long name for a school. But Cass City obviously has got to be the favorite in that region. They've been fantastic all season. They have a Miss Volleyball candidate in Shelby Ignash. They're just absolutely loaded. The matchup that I find the most interesting, obviously, is Brown City and Rochester, because that was the matchup in last year's regional semifinal, and Brown City was up 2-0 in that match. Unfortunately, Rochester was able to come back, win the last three sets, advance to the finals, and I believe they lost to Cass City in that final, but that's definitely something that's going to be in the back of the minds of Brown City. I talked to Coach Welke this weekend, and she said, you know, going into this region, we're definitely the underdogs, but we're okay with that. So it should be interesting tonight. And, you know, if you get a shot at Cass City, you get a shot. And, you know, you can't count out Brown City. I don't believe they've played each other during the regular season, but we'll see how they match up.
Okay, and you did mention that Cass City did play Rochester Hills Lutheran Northwest, did you?
That in the regional final last year, yes.
Yeah, but they also played in the Birch Run tournament. Cass City did.
Okay.
And they defeated Rochester Hills Lutheran Northwest in two sets.
Oh, so they've played this season. They've played each other?
Yeah.
Okay,
in
I
a tournament.
See. Okay,
in a tournament.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
So, all right, that's my phone going off there. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, 25-12, 25-16 back in September.
Okay. So we can consider Cass City the favorites.
Well, you know, we'll see. You know, this is the playoffs now, you know.
But no, you're right. You're right.
That was in a Birch Run tournament.
Right.
So,
okay.
Yeah. All right. So, and again, the Thursday is the regional championship game. By the time you listen to this replay, the game's already be over. So just check our, you know, little website for updates or the MHSA. So good luck to Cass City Brown City. Division III Volleyball Regional 24 at New Lothrop High School. Semifinals has Byron versus Genesee and Millington up against Saginaw Valley Lutheran tonight as well. Regional championship game on Thursday. So another Big Thumb Conference team in the mix here in the semifinals.
Yeah,
so.
Yep.
Division IV Volleyball Regional 32 at Mayville High School. Semifinal tonight has Ubley up against Genesee Christian and Deckerville. Yes, Deckerville, they won the district championship last week. We were there. I was there with you for the semifinals. Big win for Deckerville.
You were there for the longest night of the week.
It was after 10 o'clock when that last game got over.
Yes, it was.
Deckerville defeating Peck to get to the final against Marlette and won a district title. Now they're in the regional semifinal, as Ubley is. Deckerville up against Marine City Cardinal Mooney. That's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, you know, but I'm not gonna bet against Deckerville right now.
Yeah.
I mean, they're playing some incredible volleyball, and there's so many storylines with this Deckerville team right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, last week when you were there, them beating Peck, first of all, that was the Big Thumb Conference Blue Division champion, Peck.
Yeah.
Deckerville almost beat Peck at the end of the regular season, and that kind of gave them the confidence to, you know, say, hey, we could beat this Peck team. But this is their first district title since 2015, and you're going to have to help me with this Deckerville name, Eddie, because you're the Deckerville guy.
Okay.
The volleyball coach before Coach Heilig, Carl.
Oh.
Krumenacher.
Krumenacher?
Krumenacher.
What do you think? It could go both ways.
Okay. Well, you're...
And he was there for a while.
He was there for a while.
And he's an Ubley native.
He is an Ubley native. Yep. He was on the Ubley staff for a long time. He came to Deckerville. He, you know, revived the program there, and he won 9 straight district titles, and that was with Coach Heilig, the current Deckerville coach, as his lead assistant.
Mm-hmm.
But Coach Heilig had never won a district title as that, you know, she could call her own. You know, she took over as head coach in 2016. That was the year when the streak ended, unfortunately. And she's had a lot of great teams and a lot of great players, and they've come close. They've been in quite a few district finals during this time. But to do it with this team, because they had lost so many seniors from last year's team. And before the season, Coach Heilig even mentioned, you know, this is probably going to be our rebuilding year. Maya Garza was out all season due to an injury. That was their starting center, or setter, sorry. So you go into the season with Maylee Tank, a freshman setter, and you have one senior on your team in Emma Roberts. So this team really came together, and they really improved throughout the season. And not only beating Peck, but beating Marlette in the finals. That was a team that went to the state quarterfinals last year. And obviously not quite the same Marlette team as last year.
Right. They're in their rebuilding mode right now.
Right. But you also have to give a lot of credit to Marlette, because the team that we saw last week in that district, completely different from the Marlette team that we saw at the beginning of the season.
They defeated Kingston last week, who was favored to beat Marlette in that district semifinal.
Yes. So really just a great week of volleyball in Kingston. And, you know, it was really exciting. You know, you don't – When I cover a district like that, and this is no disrespect to Kingston because I love Kingston, but I just want a Sanilac County team to win. You know, you don't. I'm not rooting for Peck or Deckerville or Marlette. I just want to see a Sanilac County team win it. But for this Deckerville team, it meant so much for Coach Heilig, for the senior Emma Roberts. And, you know, this is a team, they're going to return almost everybody to next year's team. So I think they have a great chance against Cardinal Mooney tonight. And chances are they'll get Ubley on Thursday. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Okay. And I want to thank Carl Nickel for hosting us. At Kingston High School. He let me sit up there up top so I could get a nice
view. Yeah, you had a
great
view, yeah.
Yeah, and I had a lot of fun watching. It was just a long
night. Oh, it was a great game, yeah.
Both of them.
Yeah. Now, and you know, this is, maybe I shouldn't even mention this, but that district semifinal against Peck, there were so many calls where, I mean, it was a pretty close match where they ended up just replaying a lot of the points.
Yeah, which, at least five or six. I think.
They kind of took a little bit out of the net. And that's not to say that it favored Peck or Deckerville. I don't think it favored anybody, to be honest. But, you know, a great season for Peck as well. They were conference champions. I know they really wanted that district title, but anything can happen during districts. So.
And for folks out in the stands who are watching that, if you think you can do better, go ahead and apply at the MHSAA website, and you can be yourself a volleyball official.
Yes.
And show us how it's done.
Yes.
All right. Anything else in volleyball to talk here?
I think that about covers it. Brown City's district title last week. I don't want to say it gets overshadowed by Deckerville, but it's just with Brown City, you expect them to win district titles, and it's, you know, they dominated. They swept Otisville Lakeville, they swept Memphis in the finals. It was never really close all week, but this is back-to-back titles for Brown City, and the 10th district title for Coach Welke. So congratulations to the Green Devils.
All right, good luck to all our coverage area teams in the BWAC and Big Thumb Conference regional semifinals, and of course the replay of this. By the time this is over, you'll know who's going to play in the regional championship games on Thursday. Quarterfinals will be next week at select neutral sites as well. This is Thumb Sportsline on WMIC. I'm Eddie Fury, Mike Gallagher over there. And we'll be right back after a quick break and run through the Armada Tigers as we talk about now high school football. We're all, oh, by the way, and okay, this is where we can introduce Thumb Area Legion is playing this Saturday, first game of the season, November 16th. And it'll be a home game against Lenawee United, 3:30 p.m. Then they'll have a Sunday game, home against Mid-Michigan Raptors. And that'll be this week at the Sanilac County 4-H Fairgrounds in the old Dairy Barn. Now the hockey arena is set up in there.
Both of those games are at home this weekend.
That's what it says here in the 2024-25 Thumb Area Legion Facebook page. So there you go. All right, good luck to hockey starting this weekend, so check it out. We'll be right back here on WMIC, Thumb Sportsline. Talk about the Armada Tigers coming up. And this is a Thumb Sportsline replay podcast update on final scores, as the show takes place on Tuesday nights. So these are the high school girls volleyball playoff regional semifinal scores from Tuesday nights. Division 2 Volleyball Regional 15 at Marysvale High School had Richmond defeating Warren Regina 3-0 and Detroit Country Day over Harper Woods 3-0. The regional championship game on Thursday, 6 p.m., November 14th, has Richmond against Detroit Country Day. Division 2 Volleyball Regional 16 at Croswell Lexington High School in the semifinals, North Branch defeated Mount Morris 3-0 and Frankenmuth over Linden 3-0. The regional championship game on Thursday, 6 p.m., November 14th, with North Branch taking on Frankenmuth. Division III Volleyball Regional 23 at Bad Axe High School. The semifinals, it was Cass City defeating Grosse Pointe Woods 3-0. And Rochester Hills Lutheran coming from behind, defeating Brown City 3-2. Regional championship game on Thursday, November 14th, 7 p.m. It'll be Cass City up against Rochester Hills Lutheran. Division III Volleyball Regional 24 at New Lothrop High School. Semifinals had Byron defeating Genesee 3-0. Saginaw Valley Lutheran over Millington 3-1. The regional championship game will be on Thursday, November 14th, 6 p.m. with Byron taking on Saginaw Valley Lutheran. Division 4 Volleyball Regional 32 semifinals taking place at Mayville High School had Ubley defeat Genesee Christian 3-0 and Dackerville winning over Marine City Cardinal Mooney 3-0. The regional championship game will be on Thursday, November 14th at Mayville High School, 7 p.m. with Dackerville taking on Ubley. That's the scoring update from Tuesday nights. As when we come back here on Thumb Sports Line, the podcast replay, we will talk about high school football. Talking about Armada coming up next.
Game time is here, and AVS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. For staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. And if you need smoother, faster internet, AVS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, AVS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference it's built for everything you do. Want to save even more? Combine AVS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Best wishes to all of the athletes in tonight's game. From AVS Broadband and Thumb Cellular, keeping you connected.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
Denny King, the King of Cars, here with more Motors in Carroll. If you're looking to get a no-nonsense deal on a new Ford, Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, or Jeep, you need to come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, and more motor sales in Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Here at More Motors of Carroll, we give fair trade-in value and transparent pricing.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Whether you're looking for a new car, truck, or SUV, I'm proud to offer the best deal possible for every customer who comes through our doors. No games, no gimmicks, just the facts and the real deal here at More Motor Sales in Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
Don't waste your time showing up to other dealers who offer unrealistic deals and false promises. Come see me, Denny King, the King of Cars, at More Motor Sales of Carroll.
Denny King, the King of Cars.
I'm Denny King, the King of Cars. I earned my title by taking care of every one of my customers here at More Motors and for the last 30 years. So come see me, Denny King, and see why your friends and neighbors are driving to Carroll.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line. Now moving on to high school football. We are in the regionals for 11-player football and state semifinals for 8-player football. Real quick here, we're going to dive into Armada football team. They are playing in Division 5, and they had no problem in their game.
No, they did not.
I mean, they really dominated in their game. They move on to the regional championship game. In fact, some history here. I think Armada won their first district championship in high school football.
Yeah, ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's incredibly impressive. But, I mean, we've kind of known over these past couple of years what Kyle Rowley has done with this program. And unfortunately, Armada had not really seen a ton of postseason success. But, you know, this this was the year, and they really made no doubt about it. I know JB was doing that game on Friday night, and he was sending us updates, and each update was more absurd than the next, because Jackson Malberg, you know, his final line was incredible. So this is no disrespect to Hazel Park. We kind of knew going into this game that, you know, we were kind of curious how Hazel Park had gotten a spot in a district final. But a lot of the credit has to go to Armada. They really wanted to go out and prove a point, and they definitely succeeded in doing so.
Yeah, they scored 21 points in the first quarter, 21
in
the
three plays.
21 points in the second quarter.
On three plays.
14 in the third quarter, and then 7 in the final quarter, which they probably didn't really want to. But it happened. 63-0 was the final score with a win over the Hazel Park Vikings. No horn there.
No horn.
But a huge win for the Armada Tigers to move on to a regional championship game. And like I said earlier, that was the first district. Hard to believe that's their first district title for high school football.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to win district titles, especially, you know, when you're up in those bigger divisions. They've had some tough first-round opponents the past couple seasons. And, you know, for the longest time before Coach Riley took over the program, Armada wasn't even really a team that made the playoffs all that often. So it's pretty cool stuff.
So one passing attempt, and they completed it for 34 yards. The rest of the game, 24 carries, 463 rushing yards, 19.3 yards per carry, 9 touchdowns rushing-wise for Armada.
Yeah, and I feel like those numbers got a little bit skewed only because Armada was kneeling the ball at the end of the game. Because, you know, the stats that they had at halftime were just incredible.
Yeah, and leaders for that game, you talked about Jackson Malberg, he has been the key for this team. Rushing-wise, he had 323 yards on 10 carries, 7 touchdowns, second leading carrier, 77 yards for Evan Canarian. I always have trouble with this one. Evan Canate. You know what? JB's going to have it right for me. Evan Canny Annan, the junior, 77 yards, 5 carries. He had two touchdowns in a game. I know I'm not saying right. I'll have it right come Friday night because I'm going to be helping out Jonathan Bisher and doing my first thumbtail getter game in quite some time.
I was going to say, I'm pretty excited about that. How long has it been, do you think?
I did one last year. I usually do
for
one
football?
A year. Yeah, I usually do at least one a year
on
a needed basis.
Yeah. You know,
so busy with the same, like, broadcasting.
Right.
So, yeah. So I'm jumping on that one. So with Jonathan Bisher, looking forward to that game. But just rushing-wise, and now they move on to the regional championship game. And they're going to have a pretty good tough game, I would say.
A pretty tough game, yeah.
Yeah, they have Pontiac Notre Dame Prep.
Yeah.
That will be, of course, Friday night. Tune in around 6:30 p.m. for the pregame show on our Thumbtugger Sports Channel 1 at thumbtugger.com.
So, obviously, Pontiac Notre Dame Prep, a very, very good team this year. We've heard that all season. I don't have much insight on Pontiac Notre Dame Prep, other than I can tell you, couple seasons ago, Croslex beat Notre Dame Prep in the playoffs 6-0.
Okay.
So I know it's a different year, it's a different team, and you know, but they're not this big Goliath that can't be taken down. So maybe Coach Rowley will be calling up former Croslex coach Mike LeGros, ask for some tips.
What?
Now that night, it downpoured the entire night, and neither team could really do anything offensively. So maybe if Armada could figure out a way to do that, that could help. But
all right, so they only have one loss, and that was at the end of the regular season to Hudsonville Unity Christian, 43-28. So good luck to Armada Tigers.
Loss.
Yeah, good luck to the Armada Tigers. Stat wise, they have at least 1,276 yards receiving. That's passing. 16 touchdowns passing-wise. And also rushing. They had rushed for 2,637 yards. 44 rushing touchdowns. So at least they have a balanced offense going up against Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. They just need the defense
you know,
to stop them. We'll be right back here on WMIC. Thumb Sports Line.
Game time is here, and AVS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. Need smoother, faster internet? AVS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, AVS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference that's built for everything you do. And for staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. Want to save even more? Combine AVS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Now sit back and enjoy the game. And good luck to all of the athletes in tonight's game.
Are you an enthusiastic sports fan? Want to have fun and get in on the action?
Heck yes, that'd be awesome.
Have great attention to detail? Want to stay active?
Definitely.
Want to give back to the student athletes in your community?
Obviously, yes.
Then you'd make an excellent high school sports official. We need more officials in Michigan, because with no high school officials, there are no high school sports. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Hi, I'm Chris Graff.
And I'm Hank Graff. This month, it's all about me, Hanksgiving. Get it?
I get it. Hank's giving you a great deal at a Graff store near you.
At Graff Chevrolet in Sandusky, Hanksgiving is about saving you some cash.
Drive off a Chevrolet Trailblazer for just $284 a month, a Silverado Crew Cab for just $263 a month, or shop our quality used vehicle selection.
Don't miss your chance to save during the Hanksgiving sale at a Graff dealership near you.
Welcome back to WMIC 95.3 FM. It's Thumb Sports Line. Now, still talk about high school football as we dive into Division 4 in our Sanilac Broadcasting coverage area team. The Croswell-Lexington Pioneers down substantially, came back, took the lead, but ended up losing in overtime 43-42 to Macomb Lutheran North. Mike Gallagher from the Sanilac County News here with me. Let's talk about this game. Croswell, they look like they were done, right?
Yes, they did. They looked like the Detroit Lions after Jared Goff threw his fifth pick.
They came back, and they almost came away with the win.
Oh, man.
But it was a two-point conversion that won the game with Macomb Lutheran North over Croswell Lexington. Tough loss, but man, I like the fight that Croswell had.
Just an absolutely gutty effort from the Pioneers. So for me, Friday night, I started my night in KPAC covering Brown City volleyball. So by the time I made it to Macomb, it was halftime. Croslex was down 21-7. And then, you know, Croslex was set to receive the opening kickoff of the second half. And you think, okay, just go ahead, get a score, you know, get a stop, and then you're back in this thing. Well, on the opening kickoff, Macomb Lutheran North goes with, it was kind of a pooch kick. It wasn't really an onside kick. It was just kind of placed in a weird spot, and Macomb gets the ball back, and then they score, and they're up 27-7, and then you're really feeling the heat, and you know it. You didn't, on the sideline, it wasn't a feeling of, you know, okay, Croslex, they're not going to pack it in, you know, they're not going to quit. But now you're down 20 points on the road in a district final game. That does not look good. But they just kept chipping away and, you know, going back, you know, to that Lions game on Sunday night. They just kept chipping away.
This was all in the second half, too.
This was all in the second half. Yeah, they scored 28 unanswered points to take the lead. One of the, you know, this unfortunately, with, you know, Croslex ended up losing. Otherwise, you know, this play probably would have gone down as one of the greatest in Croslex history. You know, when John Herman intercepts a pass and takes it 75 yards to give Kroslex a 35-27 lead. And, you know, it was just an incredible second half effort. And it started, first of all, with the defense, because obviously you got to get stops. And that running back that we talked about last week for McComb, he lived up to the hype. He was good. You know, he had the 7 touchdowns against St. Clair. And Kroslex had trouble stopping him. And he was just, he was a little running back, but he was shifty. He was quick. And I think he scored 4 or 5 times. So he was pretty hard to stop. But Kroslex got the stops when they needed him in the second half. And I think the biggest thing in the second half was they let Jax Johnson go out there and try and win it for him. He had a tough interception in the first half. And they didn't let that deter them from trusting him. And he went out there and he looked like a playoff quarterback. He had some huge passes to Cody Mativier, to Shane Slanik. Braylon Davis had a nice catch. It was really just a great team effort. I know a lot of Kroslex fans. The 2-point conversion in overtime, I mean, there was no doubt about it. They got that one. At the end of regulation, there was 15 seconds left when McComb scores. They needed a 2-point conversion to send it to overtime. And it was, everybody was just on the edge of their seats. Everybody, you know, you didn't even know what to do. You were just kind of, and a timeout. Timeout from McComb. And it just, the moment kept building and building and building. And, you know, McComb just ends up running it up the middle. Mm. Was he in? Was he not?
Oh.
Hard to say.
Really?
And, you know, I may have had the best viewpoint from it outside of the officials who, you know, it was their job to be watching it.
Yeah.
I can't say. I mean, it was an incredibly tough call.
Yeah. Wow.
It
really?
Was, yeah. I mean, it was just a big pile up right at the goal line. You know, when they got everybody off the pile, the ball was past the line. But, you know, you go into overtime and you do what you're supposed to do. You go in, you score right away, right off the bat. You kick the extra point. And, you know, McComb comes out, and I think, you know, I think they knew, and, you know, I'm not trying to make any assumptions from the McComb sideline, but I think when they scored, they knew that they couldn't keep battling with this Kroslex team any longer. It was, we have to go and we have to win it right now. Otherwise, we're not going to win it at all. You know, this is our best chance to do it. If we get the 2-point conversion here, we win it. You know, otherwise, you know, we've been battling this team all night. And so they go, it was a beautifully designed play. They end up going with the fake to the running back. And then they hit a receiver who had not caught a pass all night. And, you know, it was something, it was a tough play to defend. But really, you just have to give Kroslex so much credit. And it's something we've talked about all season. It's something that Coach Holes talked about from the very beginning of the season. The blue-collar work ethic, they don't let anything bother them. You know, when they were down 27-7 in the third quarter there, it was, all right, well, let's get back out there and let's go to work. You know, that's what you do. And, you know, there was tons of big plays. The Herman brothers were huge again, of course. You know, but it started with the defense. And I'll pull up the season stats in right now because, you know, Herman, he ended up having one of the better seasons that we've ever seen from a Kroslex running back. And you know, that's what this team needed. They needed somebody to be that guy for them. And, you know, Jax Johnson, obviously he really came along as the season, you know, went as the season progressed, and he might've had his best game of the season in that district final
as
against
a freshman
Mahone.
Quarterback.
Yeah.
For Croslex.
Because, you know, in the first half, it was, you know, they wanted to go out there and do what they did against Marysville. Go out there, be more physical than the other team, run the ball 40 to 50 times, and just wear them down. But, you know, credit to Macomb, they didn't really let Croslex do that. So, you know, when you come out of halftime, you have to do some different things. And they really had to trust Jax Johnson, and he delivered for them. But I just want to go over this, the final season stat line for John Herman. 266 carries, 1,605 yards, and 16 touchdowns. Just an incredible season for him. Jax Johnson, he ended up throwing for exactly 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns. Against Macomb, he was 4 of 10 for 66 yards and a passing touchdown. And that was all in the second half. John Herman, 34 carries, 167 yards, 3 touchdowns. The defense, Jack Fagan, 6 tackles. Bill Herman, 7 tackles. And then, of course, the defensive touchdown from John Herman. Reese Knoll had 7 tackles. Noah Jackson, 7 tackles, 2 tackles for loss. Really just a great game and a great season for Croslex. I think they exceeded the expectations of most people. I think a lot of people, you know, not necessarily Croslex fans, but I think a lot of people on the outside looking in, they were ready to write this team off. You know, they had lost so much last season. They had lost so many playmakers, and they just went back out there and they, you know, they made it back into the playoffs. They won a playoff game. They won a playoff game where they were not favored to win. You know, they went in and they beat the top team in their district. You know, they performed, you know, fairly well in the BWAC, obviously with the losses to Almont and Armada. But, you know, just another great season for Croslex. Now, again, you're going to lose some pretty big names for next season. You know, obviously with John and Bill Herman both being gone. Reese Knoll on the defensive side. It's going to be, you're going to put even more on the shoulders of Jax Johnson next season, and I'm excited to see what that looks like.
All right, so, and that was the loss in overtime, one overtime.
Yes.
Macomb Lutheran North getting the win, 43-42 over the Croslex into Pioneers, who made an incredible comeback, but Macomb Lutheran North still had a little bit more left in their gas, despite them having a good substantial lead. Give credit to the Croslex-Lexington Pioneers. Hopefully this will carry over into the next season. Like you said, the blue-collar, never-give-up mentality. Much what the Lions have right now going on.
It's a great way to play football. I mean, it keeps you in any game, you know, when you think that you can just go out there and keep working hard. And you're right. I mean, this game proved that. And hopefully that's something that the players that will be returning to next year's team will remember.
Yeah, Croslex ends its season at 7-4 overall. John Herman, who had 149 yards and 34 carries. William Herman had 30 yards, 6 rushes. Jax Johnson, 6 of 10, 67 yards in this game as well. So, Macomb Lutheran North just a little bit better and getting the win overtime. So, there you go. The Pioneers were up 28-27 at one point, by the way.
Yes, so, yes they were, yeah.
And then William Herman's 17-yard TD increased that lead 35-27 with just 3 minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
That's just like, ugh.
Mm-hmm.
It's right there.
Yeah.
You know, it's right there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, I enjoyed the updates that came in, too. So,
yeah.
I just couldn't believe it. Kim Pesey is the player from Macomb Lutheran North. He rushing 29 times, 177 yards, and 5 touchdowns. First half, he scored on runs of 41, 3, and 23 yards before opening the third quarter, 7-yard scoring run as well. He's 5'7", 145 pounds of muscle and rushing ability.
He was impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see him on the field, he's not a great a huge player or anything, but he was really hard to bring down, especially around the goal line. You said he had 5 touchdowns against Krauzex?
I believe he did, yeah.
Okay, he had 7 against St. Clair.
Yeah.
So he's having himself a nice postseason.
I have 1, 2, 3, and then 4 in the third quarter.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know about the fourth quarter.
Okay.
According to this info that I have here. So, yeah. So, yeah, congrats, Croswell. I'm sure, you know, with Coach Holes there, second year
Coach
in.
Coach Holes, I mean, he's done just a fantastic job this season.
Stepping in, is he? And obviously he's going to be sticking around. Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see why not.
Because we've seen the Croswell kind of shake the boat a lot there, you know?
Well, you know,
couple years.
With Coach Holes, this is a guy that's been with the program before. You know, we talked about he was on the staff when they beat Marysville for the very first time back in 2008. So I think he has a lot of love for Croslex. So yeah. I think he's, you know, pretty proud of being the head coach there. And, I hope he sticks around for a long time because just the mentality that he's brought to this group where it doesn't matter who you're playing, who you've got on your sideline, or what the score is, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to continue to play Pioneer football. And, you know, it's really easy to, you know, like this team and like Coach Holes because of the way that they go out and play football.
All right, so we're going to take a break here on Thumb Sports Line. We'll be back with more teams to talk about. The Cassidy-Millington game, Harbor Beach game, and they won that one big against Clarkston Everest Collegiate. And then, of course, we dive into Division I High School A Player Football with Deckerville getting their win over the Kingston Cardinals last week that we had covered. That's the team we are following here on Sand Lake Broadcasting. You'll hear that live again on Saturday's state semifinal.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler. As we enjoy this beautiful fall season and look forward to the holidays, I'd like to thank the many volunteers who make our fall festivals and school activities so successful. We would also like to remind you to practice safety at all times, whether it's working for a safe harvest, driving safely, and watching for the youngsters walking to and from school. Please do your part to prevent an accident.
Hi, this is Joni. Starting November 11th, we're continuing our 75th anniversary celebration by awarding free Thanksgiving turkeys to 75 of our customers as we help support the North Branch Knights of Columbus and the local food pantry.
And this is Charlene asking you to call us at 810-346-2820 or register online at getkohlers.com November 11th through the 15th between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. to win your free turkey. From our family to your family, thanks for your business, and remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Best wishes to all of the athletes at tonight's game from everyone at M3 Wireless. There's never been a better time than now to find out for yourself why thousands of Thumb area residents are making the switch to M3 Wireless for their internet. Right now, new customers get a special promotional rate of $50 per month for 25 megabits per second or 50 megabits per second for $70 a month. That's $20 off a month for all new M3 Wireless customers. Also available are their low-income packages of 15 megabits or 25 megabits, starting at $30 for qualifying customers. Plus, all one-year contracts include free installation. That's not all, though. M3 Wireless is now offering a 75 megabits package. Customers can enjoy download speeds of 75 megabits per second and upload speeds of 15 megabits per second for just $50 a month for the first 6 months, and then the regular price of $80 a month. For more information, give them a call at 989-269-2306 or check them out online at m3isp.com. And once again, good luck to all of the athletes at tonight's game.
It's a deer season tradition. Tri-County Equipment's annual Deer Widow Sale this Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th at all 11 locations of Tri-County Equipment. Save 15% off on all John Deere gifts. Select from sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, signs, books, baby gifts, pet gifts, and mugs. Also outdoor decor and home goods. All 15% off this Friday and Saturday. Shop your nearest Tri-County Equipment location for 15% off on all John Deere toys for all ages. There are baby and toddler toys, precision models for collectors. In fact, toys of all kinds. You can hunt all year long and not find a deal like this. It's the annual John Deere Widow Sale happening this Friday and Saturday with 15% off on all John Deere toys, clothes, and gifts. Tri-County Equipment, your John Deere dealer, making your holidays even greener. Locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Lapeer, Fenton, Burton, Saginaw, Reese, Birch Run, and Auburn Hills. Sale on this Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th.
Tri-County.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM and streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com. As we continue on and talk about our high school football games and recaps and get ready for looking ahead to the regional championship games in 11-player football, the Millington Cardinals defeating the Cass City Redhawks 34-7. Dallas Walsh of the Cardinals rushing for 110 yards. Also had a fumble for the Cardinals, made two catches, 44 yards and a touchdown, made three tackles, four assists on defense. Truck Turbush, who is the Thumb Sports Writers Association's Player of the Week, threw for 253 yards, four touchdowns, and also rushed for 62 yards, four tackles on defense as well. Brevin Hendricks getting three catches, receptions for 49 yards and two touchdowns. And Owen Krieger made six catches for 76 yards and a touchdown. Bryce Martin made four catches, 79 yards. And Layden DeLong had a kickoff return for a touchdown. For the Cass City Redhawks, Braxton Kolach ran. Did I get it right?
You did, I believe, yeah.
4 yards and a touchdown and a fumble for the Redhawks. He made one catch for 40 yards and made one tackle on defense. Riker Wallace, just 46 yards. Jackson Anthony, 26 yards. And, well, it was just a tough time for the Cass City Redhawks. Will Perry, 29 yards rushing as well. So, yeah, Millington Cardinals is way too much here for the Cass City Redhawks this time around. Millington's still undefeated, and they move on and take on and host Pomona Westphalia in the Division 7 regional final and that regional championship game, which is set for Saturday, 1 p.m. This Saturday. Yeah, big win for Millington Cardinals, Big Thumb Conference team, defeating another Big Thumb Conference team as well.
Yeah, and they kind of beat Cass City in a little bit of a different way than they did during the regular season. You know, with Truck Turbush having a huge game through the air.
Yeah.
I think Cass City, you know, made it a point of emphasis of, hey, we're going to try and slow down the Millington running game. And, you know, Truck Turbush is a really good quarterback. Millington, they have obviously a great ground game with Dallas Walsh and Landon Russell. But when you throw in a performance like that from Chuck Turbush, it makes Millington a very scary team and a team that's going to be very hard to stop. They have Pewamo Westphalia up next.
And they Millington gets to host this game,
they
too.
They get to host, yep. Because Pewamo Westphalia defeated Ithaca last week. So you know that they're going to come in battle-tested, but this Millington offense is just so special, so versatile, and we saw that, you know, if they need to, Truck Turbush can go out there and win them a game. But credit to Cass City, another great season for them. You know, they're consistently one of the best programs in the Thumb area, and a lot of that starts with head coach Scott Cuthrell. They had lost quite a bit from last year's team, but they always seem to, you know, figure it out and make it to the playoffs. And
take on pretty tough teams. They're known for taking on Millington a lot.
They played Millington and Harbor Beach this season. Yeah. So they go out and they play. They played Ubley as well, right, at the end of the season?
Yeah.
I mean, they played everybody. Yeah. So another great season for Cass City. Millington, I mean, they're looking pretty special, Eddie. I mean, what do you think? I mean, is this the year or what?
Well, you know, I want to say a couple things about Pewamo Westphalia.
Okay.
Their losses is to Lansing Catholic, 34-35, who just defeated Ovid Elsie, who defeated Almont.
Really?
Yeah, okay. That was 31-28, close win for Lansing Catholic.
Okay.
But that was a loss for Pewamo, so a tough competition there in Division 5. Mm-hmm. Their other loss was to Fowler, who is playing Harbor Beach. That was a 14-11 loss for Powamo Westphalia.
Okay.
And so, that was a Division 8 size school. So
they're pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're battle tested against some playoff caliber teams, you know.
Okay.
They play a variety of different division teams here.
Okay.
But, you know, I like Millington in this.
I do,
know?
Too.
Yeah.
Millington,
feeling pretty good
Millington
right now.
At home. Is that a Friday game or a Saturday
That'd
game?
That would be a Saturday afternoon game. Yep.
Man, you got to feel good about Millington. I was unaware of Pewamo's schedule. That's some good work by you there.
Yeah.
But
this is a home game for Millington.
Yeah.
So, So good luck to the Millington Cardinals. They are 10-0 overall, still undefeated. And they'll play... Powamo or Millington will play the winner of North Muskegon or Menominee.
Okay.
And both of those teams have one loss during the regular season. If Millington wins, they'll have to go on the road if Menominee wins. If North Muskegon wins, they have a home game again. No, wait. It'll be state semifinals.
It'll be neutral site.
For 11-player football, it is neutral sites for that.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so that's Millington. Good luck to them. Take it on Powamo Westphalia, Saturday, 1 p.m. We're going to take another break. When we come back, we got Division 8 football to talk, Harbor Beach Pirates, and then we'll have the Decorville Eagles as well coming up here on Thumb Sports Line. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Hi, this is Steve Kohler. As we enjoy this beautiful fall season and look forward to the holidays, I'd like to thank the many volunteers who make our fall festivals and school activities so successful. We would also like to remind you to practice safety at all times, whether it's working for a safe harvest, driving safely, and watching for the youngsters walking to and from school. Please do your part to prevent an accident.
Hi, this is Joni. Starting November 11th, we're continuing our 75th anniversary celebration by awarding free Thanksgiving turkeys to 75 of our customers as we help support the North Branch Knights of Columbus and the local food pantry.
And this is Charlene asking you to call us at 810-346-2820 or register online at getkohlers.com November 11th through the 15th between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. to win your free turkey. From our family to your family, thanks for your business, and remember, nobody gives you gas like Kohler's.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM as we move on and talk about high school 11-player football recaps from our St. Lac Broadcasting Coverage Area teams. In Division 8, the Harbor Beach Pirates win big on the road, defeating Clarkson Everest Collegiate 37-7. Big win here for Harbor Beach, still undefeated. And Benson Harper had a big game himself. He had 87 yards rushing, a touchdown for the Pirates. Two catches for 112 yards. Two catches, 112 yards, and two touchdowns through the air defensively. Five tackles on defense. Rogan Messing rushing for 79 yards and a fumble. Kaden Buchholz, 35 yards and a touchdown, the quarterback there. He also threw for 161 yards and three touchdowns. Had an interception, however, but... it didn't really hurt him that much. Andrew Caban made one catch for 30 yards and a touchdown, also rushing for 8 yards. Three tackles on defense as well. Skyler Cruz made a catch for 19 yards for the Harbor Beach Pirates. The Harbor Beach Pirates advancing to the Division 8 Regional Final, where they have to travel again despite being undefeated, taking on Fowler. Game is this Saturday, 1 p.m. this afternoon. Big win for Harbor Beach here on the road. Get a good road win over Clarkson Everest Collegiate, 37-7. Did you feel this? It would be that big of a gap, a 30-point win?
You know, going into this one, I really wasn't sure what to think. Obviously, we know Harbor Beach is a great team. They're having a great season. They're absolutely loaded. But I think there was just a lot of question marks with Clarkson Everest, just because, you know, you look at their schedule and, you know, how they played against Ubley or how they played in week 9 against Macomb. Like, I just can't get over the fact that Clarkson Everest took Macomb Lutheran North into overtime. Eventually they lost that game. But that really was something that stood out to me. Obviously, we don't know much about Clarkson Everest, but when you see that and, you know, you see, you know, Macomb, you know, win against Croslex in overtime in a district final game, I'm not going to say I was worried at all for Harbor Beach, because I think either way they were going to win. But I think there was just so many question marks with Clarkson Everest. But, you know, Harbor Beach goes in, they take care of business, and this is the big one. This is the one that's been circled for quite some time now, at least by us in the media. We know that up in Harbor Beach they're not looking past any opponent, especially when your week one opponent is Ubley in the playoffs. But this is a big one. This is, if you can get past Fowler, it's kind of weird, but things actually get a little bit easier on, you know, the path to a state championship or a state title, because Fowler and Harbor Beach, you could argue, are the two best teams left in Division 8. Now, I'm sure a lot of other teams would also like to make the argument that they're the best, but this is the one. And yeah, it's kind of unfortunate that Harbor Beach has gone undefeated and they had to go on the road to Clarkston and now they have to go on the road to Fowler. But really, you know, when you look at that week 9 game where they went to Vermontville, Maple Valley, when they picked up a game just so that they had a game to play, you know, that's something they're kind of used to now. And we talked about how valuable it was to pick up a game that week 9. First of all, you know, to stay in the routine of preparing for a game and, you know, to play an opponent the week before the playoffs start. But, you know, now you're also kind of adjusted to having to be the team that goes on the road and goes into a place that you've never played before and, you know, has to prepare a little bit differently. And I think that picking up that game in week 9 is continuing to pay off for Harbor Beach. And again, we still haven't really seen the full potential of this Harbor Beach offense because they haven't really been pushed in a game since week 1 against Cass City. And, you know, I think we're finally going to get to see that, and that's kind of exciting. But you know, at this point, I'm not betting against Harbor Beach. Yeah, you do have to go on the road. Yeah, Fowler's really good, but I think Harbor Beach, you know, obviously they know what's at stake. They know that this is the one. This is the big game, and it should be a very exciting game. Is that a 1 o'clock or a 2 o'clock game?
That is going to be a 1 o'clock start.
Okay.
Coverage begins at 12 noon for WWE Sports Network covering that game. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So all of us in Deckerville will be furiously looking for updates on our phone from WLEW. Yeah.
We'll be refreshing
our phones every 5 seconds. Yeah. To see how Harbor Beach is doing, because you know it's something that's always kind of cool to see at this point in the season. It becomes, you know, everybody's rivals during the regular season, and everybody wants to beat each other. But one of the greatest things about the Thumb is once you get to this point in the season, it's the Thumb versus everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in Deckerville is rooting for Harbor Beach. Everybody in Deckerville is rooting for Millington. Everybody, you know, it's we want to see the Thumb do well. We want to see our teams keep winning. And, you know, Harbor Beach will be on the road, but they'll have the full support of everybody back here. So,
all right. Good luck to those teams. And, of course, we're looking forward to the Millington updates, you know, our game. Deckerville game and the Harbor Beach game. We'll have all those updates on our live broadcast or retweet the latest scoring updates as well. So
yeah, we're not we won't have any of the other TSA members on tonight, but before we wrap up the show tonight, we'll go through and mention where you can listen to all these games, because we'll have them all covered, you know.
Yeah, and by the way, Harbor Beach put my sports network, webcast network, Thumb Tailgater Sports, on the map when they beat Beale City 35-10, and that was way back in 2012.
Yep.
Hard to believe it's been that long ago.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yep.
But this is the regional championship game. This is when you see the cream of the crop really rise to the top here.
Yeah, definitely.
With teams. All right, good luck to Harbor Beach Pirates. That's a Saturday game, 1 p.m. kickoff. We'll be right back and talk about our coverage team, immediate coverage team, on Stan Lake Broadcasting and for Mike Gallagher. The Deckerville Eagles, who got a big win over the Kingston Cardinals, will be right back here on Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM. And we're streaming online at StanLightBroadcasting.com. Click the Listen Live link.
Hi, Todd Bowers with More Motors of Carroll. If you're looking for a great deal on a Super Duty 4x4, I have great news. We have several Super Duty F-250s in stock, all around $55,000. We have a couple of regular cab F-250s, a super cab F-250 with an 8-foot box, and a crew cab F-250 with an 8-foot box. They're well-equipped XL work trucks with rubber floors, again, all less than $60,000, and all equipped with four-wheel drive. We also have a great selection of F-150s, Ram 1500s, and Ram 2500s. We also have rows of Jeeps and Pacificas in stock. That's More Motors, locally owned since 1965. Come see why your friends and neighbors are driving the Carroll.
That's More Motors, just west of Carroll on M81, where your friends and neighbors get the real deal.
Liberty Lanes and Sandusky salutes the area athletes for their accomplishments and academic achievements. On your way to or from the game, come on into Liberty Lanes for a pizza or one of the many tasty entrees on the menu. Enjoy the Friday fish specials and come back for the Sunday brunch. Liberty Lanes also has banquet facilities available. For information or to place an order to go, call 810-648-9860. That's 810-648-9860. Liberty Lanes, your family dining and bowling center in West Park, Sandusky, serving you for more than 40 years. You can find Liberty Lanes on Facebook.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM. Hard to believe that it gets dark now at this time.
Yeah, I don't like it. Yeah.
So we're sure to get night games, but we have Saturday afternoon games. Including the one we're going to...
We like those, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Including the one we're talking about now. Our final topic, it is the Division I High School 8 player football state semifinal. The Deckerville Eagles taking on the Minden Hornets. That will be live on Saturday, 12:30 noon on WBGV 92.5 FM and streaming online at CNLightBroadcasting.com. But before we get to that, let's talk about how they got there.
I was going to say, there's a lot to talk about here, so where do you want to start, Eddie?
Well, they took on the Kingston Cardinals, second meeting from the regular season, where Deckerville defeated Kingston 44-0 in the regular season. I was pretty excited because what Bay City All Saints did from week one to the playoff game, where they gave Deckerville a run for the game, where at one point the All Saints were leading 20-8, but Deckerville found a way, settled down, came back, much like the Lions, you know, would do in Detroit. But, you know, I was thinking maybe Kingston Cardinals, because they were playing well at the end of the season as well.
Absolutely.
But then they lost one of the top running backs, Nick Cummings. I found out the day of the game on Friday night. He, I think the day before or during the week, injured his knee in practice.
Okay.
He was healthy before that, but in practice, you lose your second leading rusher. So now it's it kind of changes the game plan a little bit, asking other running backs to step up. Much credit to them. And then, you know, a lot more on the back of Tanner James, the quarterback for the Kingston Cardinals, leading rusher, leading passer, probably the best player on the team right now until the season ended for the Kingston Cardinals. So Deckerville's defense obviously took advantage of that. Things were kind of you know, close here mm-hmm. in the beginning, but then Deckerville started to really find those holes.
6-0 after the first quarter, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so.
And, you know, that when I talked to Coach Bill Brown, he said that was something not that they were concerned about, but when you look at those wins for Kingston in the past 2 weeks,
yeah.
When they beat Marion in week 9 and they beat Fulton in the first round of the playoffs.
And in the fourth quarter, they did that in the comeback.
Exactly. Yeah. They were both close games, and they were both comeback wins. So Deckerville knew that they couldn't let Kingston just hang around. They didn't want to be in a 6-0 game. It was a 13-0 game late in the second quarter before Deckerville got another score before the half. But you really didn't want to go into that fourth quarter with it being a 1-score game or even a 2-score game because you knew what Kingston was capable of and you had seen them do that in the previous 2 weeks. So credit to Deckerville. They didn't take their foot off the gas. You know, for Kingston, the first quarter went kind of probably how you drew it up outside of Hunter Garza scoring on the second play of the game.
Mm. Second play of the game.
Second play of the yeah. game. But outside of yeah. that, Kingston did a good job with ball control.
Yeah.
It was only a 6-0 game after the first quarter. So Kingston did what they were hoping to do. But right now, this Deckerville team is just on a different level. And, you know, Kingston, yeah, they came into the game with a great game plan. Coach Jones, one of the best coaches we have here in the Thumb at Kingston, Brandon Jones, came in with a good game plan, had their kids in the right positions, but sometimes it's an old cliche, Eddie. Sometimes it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmies and Joes, and Deckerville's got the Jimmies and Joes right now.
Yeah, winning 40-6, they had a running clock at one point, but Kingston was able to stop that by scoring a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So credit to them, Michael Jenkins. He has the one that had to step up in for Nick Cummings, although he okay. had some carries throughout the regular season.
Yep,
he was the main running back, and Tanner James. They were trying to look down the field and get some passes there. That wasn't working. Deckerville secondary did a pretty good job on them. And then, you know, the running game, pretty much Deckerville was blitzing at least once every four-down series that Kingston had. So they were coming from both ends. And there was a couple of times where Tanner James was able to get up the middle,
mm-hmm.
but Deckerville just really clamped down defensively.
You know, when you have a lead like that, you can be a little more aggressive on defense. And when you have an offense like Deckerville does, you can be a little more aggressive on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, credit to Deckerville because, you know, that All Saints game, they talked about how, okay, this is your gut check. You know, these games are going to be tough now. And they knew it was going to be a tough game with Kingston, regardless of what happened during the regular season. But they went in and they took care of business. And that's a really good Kingston team they beat.
Yeah. It was 20-0 at the half. Deckerville then scored 3 more times in the third quarter before Kingston got their touchdown in the fourth quarter to stop that running clock. But by then, Deckerville is just, you know, kind of getting some chunk yardage in there, winning 40-6. 240 yards. You would wonder, why isn't it higher like the last couple games? It's because they were working with a shorter field as well.
Okay.
Just 49 yards passing, 191 yards rushing for the Eagles. I do believe Libby was pretty almost spot on to the Deckerville stuff there.
Yeah, she's got it figured out now. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Libby Tank is our sports intern.
Libby Tank, also a district champion.
Yes, yeah. In volleyball. She's playing right now as we speak. Passing yards, Deckerville limited Kingston to just 38 passing yards. Rushing yards, just 72 for Kingston. So, just barely over 109 total yards for Kingston for this Deckerville defense. Credit to Deckerville defense. Hunter Garza, pretty much his show there. 3 touchdowns in a game. He scored the first one, as you said. 2 plays in, 6-0. Ian Flanagan, an 11-yard sweep pass in the right corner from Hunter Garza. Now they're using their kicker here. Mark Donker comes in with the point after touchdown kicks. He got the second kick after Hunter Garza got his second touchdown, a 1-yard run, 20-0 at the half. then special teams is what something is another aspect that Deckerville has too as a team. Hunter Garza with a 59-yard punt return. Mark Donker with a PAT kick. That was 27-0 at that point. Gotta love the special teams that Deckerville has in this game.
Yep, and you know, that's something, those extra points, Eddie, they're valuable. We saw that earlier in the season when they played Brown City, and Deckerville didn't do all that well converting on those. So that's something they've definitely been working on all season. And, you know, in a game like this, a state semifinal, it's going to come down to special teams. It's going to come down to conversions, to whether it's 2 points or 1 point after a touchdown. But, yeah, just all-around fantastic effort from Deckerville. I think one thing that really stood out was Parker Merriman. You know, we saw in that Bay City All Saints game, Deckerville, I don't want to say Deckerville struggled on offense, because they didn't. They did fine. They were absolutely fine. But you notice when a player like Parker Merriman is not at 100%. And that goes both offensively and defensively. And he actually ended up being the leading rusher against Kingston. And, you know, that was coming into the season, that was maybe the only question mark with Deckerville, was who is going to replace Dylan Ball at the running back position. And, you know, coming into the season, Coach Brown had about 4 or 5 different names that they were going to play back there at running back. And when they started out the season, that's kind of how it was. You know, there was a lot of different guys that were getting touches in the backfield. But it's Parker Merriman's job now. You know, he's the lead running back. He's been fantastic down the stretch. And he's going to be so important in Saturday's game, because teams know who Hunter Garza is. Teams game plan around Hunter Garza. And, you know, as tough as it can be to stop him, that's what other teams are going to be trying to do. So you really need to find other guys stepping up. And since the playoffs have started, we've seen different guys step up for Deckerville. Yes, obviously Hunter Garza has been incredible in these two games. But in that All Saints game, we see Jesse Kubacki come up with one of the biggest plays of the season for Deckerville with an interception. We see Brandon Solowitz come in the second half and just take over on offense with 2 touchdowns. And then, you know, Parker Merriman against Kingston, he comes in, puts that game away in the second half. And another name, Trenton Park, he had 10 tackles against Kingston, 3 tackles for loss, 2 sacks. And, you know, that's a kid that is stepping up for Deckerville. Because on the other side of the field, you have Preston Holman. And teams know that Preston Holman is hanging out on that side of the field. So teams aren't going to run that way. And, you know, that really puts up kid like Trenton Park under the microscope. Because teams, they're going to do their best to stay away from Preston Holman. And that means Trenton Park has to step up, and he has. So I'm excited to see maybe who's going to be the guy that steps up this Saturday against Mendon.
Well, Parker Merriman had the last 2 touchdowns for Deckerville as well. 4-yard run and a 31-yard run. Mark Donker, again, with the point after touchdown kick. I give credit also something that Jeremy Burgess, who's been doing the games with me with a play-by-play and the color, along with Libby Tank, keeping track of her stats. So a shout-out to them, too, for making the games much easier to call for me. He had pointed out some key blocks. Brandon Solowitz, as we talked about last week, and Corbin Schabowski also making some big key blocks, protecting Hunter Garza, or getting that lead block for the running backs and for the passing game as well to really open up the field here for the Deckerville Eagles.
You know, it obviously we have to give all the credit to the world and Hunter Garza, because he has lived up to the hype. He has delivered one of the greatest seasons that we've seen at Deckerville. But it's really, it's been a team effort. And whether that shows up on the stat sheet every night or not, it's the offensive line. You know, it's Preston Holman, it's Caden Franzel and Jackson Peruski. It's the defense, it's Parker Merriman, it's Corbin Schabowski, Brandon Solowitz. If you want to win a state title, you're not going to do it with one guy. Hunter Garza is good, but he's not going to win a state title all by himself. And these guys have really really just stepped up into bigger roles, and you know, it's just been two very impressive wins for Deckerville so far in the playoffs. Against Mendon, we'll see. I think it was nice with Ian Flanagan getting a touchdown reception against Kingston. Maybe we'll see a little more of that.
All right, and 12 rushes, 12 carries for Parker Merriman. 92 yards, 2 touchdowns in the win against Kingston. Hunter Garza, just 11 carries, 83 yards, 2 touchdowns. Had that special teams touchdown as well. Parker McCoy had some carries as well for 10 yards. Receiving, Parker Merriman, 33 yards with one reception. One reception for Ian Flanagan. That was a touchdown in the end zone. Just a beautiful pass there. And great catch by him by diving in and grabbing at. And a nice little dump there pass into the corner by Hunter Garza. With the 11 yards reception, his lone reception, but that was a touchdown as well. So no turnovers in this game for Deckerville. They did have they had the punt in this game a couple times, but it didn't really affect them too much, as they ended up forcing Kingston to punt off a lot too. Kingston forced to go on fourth downs. All right, now they got the Mendon Hornets state semifinal game. That's this Saturday. When we come back from our quick break here, we're going to talk about that game and about that Mendon Hornets team, because they beat a pretty good team last week on Saturday as well. As we come back here on Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM, and we're streaming online at stlakebroadcasting.com.
Game time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. For staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. And if you need smoother, faster internet, ABS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, ABS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference it's built for everything you do. Want to save even more? Combine ABS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Best wishes to all of the athletes in tonight's game. From ABS Broadband and Thumb Cellular, keeping you connected.
It's a deer season tradition. Tri-County Equipment's annual Deer Widow Sale this Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th at all 11 locations of Tri-County Equipment. Save 15% off on all John Deere gifts. Select from sweatshirts, t-shirts, hats, signs, books, baby gifts, pet gifts, and mugs. Also outdoor decor and home goods. All 15% off this Friday and Saturday. Shop your nearest Tri-County Equipment location for 15% off on all John Deere toys for all ages. There are baby and toddler toys, precision models for collectors, in fact, toys of all kinds. You can hunt all year long and not find a deal like this. It's the annual John Deere Widow Sale happening this Friday and Saturday with 15% off on all John Deere toys, clothes, and gifts. Tri-County Equipment, your John Deere dealer, making your holidays even greener. Locations in Sandusky, Marlette, Bad Axe, Carroll, Lapeer, Fenton, Burton, Saginaw, Reese, Birch Run, and Auburn Hills. Sale on this Friday and Saturday, November 15th and 16th. Tri-County Equipment.
Welcome back to Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM. We left off in Deckerville, and that's where we're going to talk about a little bit of a preview here of our game of the week on WBGV 92.5 FM, streaming online at stlakebroadcasting.com. This Saturday afternoon, 12:30 noon, about approximate start, 1 p.m. kickoff at Deckerville High School. That parking lot's going to be busy because they got the Deckerville League of Women Christmas Bazaar and Craft Show going on that day as well.
That's
from 9
that's
to 3.
Saturday?
Yeah.
No way.
State semifinals in high school eight-player football. In high school eight-player football, the state semifinals are hosted by the team with the most playoff points on their own fields. They don't go to a neutral site.
Okay.
So
what is the event going? It's the...
Well, early in the morning, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., 1 p.m., okay. Strollers are allowed after, at the Deckerville gym.
Okay.
There will be, I think it might be in the elementary gym, I believe.
Okay.
The Deckerville League of Women Christmas Bazaar. It's the 42nd anniversary.
Wow. Okay.
So, you know, a lot of the bazaar Christmas season fairs, craft fairs going on. I know there's one going on, the Pac American Legion as well, that day as well. So,
wow. What a day to be in Deckerville, huh?
So, yeah, find a parking spot.
Awesome.
Yeah. All right. But there'll be a football game,
state
semifinal at Deckerville. It's been a long time. And you can listen to the replay of the interview, or really didn't do an interview. It was kind of like Bill Brown giving his comments and all that. I asked a few questions, you know.
Oh, you talked to him
in our
post game.
You might want to listen to replay.
I would like to listen to that. Yeah,
And he had a lot to talk about. You know, I really didn't have to ask him too many questions.
You know, that's honestly. Whenever I interview Coach Brown, you really only have to ask him one or two questions.
Yeah,
and. You know, he loves talking football, and he's going to give you a ton of insight. You can really tell that he loves this team. Obviously, he loves this program. Maybe this is something he mentioned to you, but he said, you know, late in that fourth quarter, he kind of just took a moment, and he looked up at the press box, and, you know, he saw, you know, the regional titles listed on the press box there.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said he just kind of took a moment, and because it's – it's a pretty special thing, something that doesn't really happen all that often. It's happened back-to-back years now for Deckerville, but this is a guy that's been around Deckerville his whole life and around Deckerville football his whole life. Just a great moment for him, and I really hope he can get back to that state championship game.
Okay, last year it was a road game for the state semifinal, losing to Adrian Lanaway Christian, 14-42. This team has gotten better. I believe they've gotten better.
Well,
offensively and defensively.
You even have to go back a year before that, because you look at these seniors, Hunter Garza, Corbin Charbowski, Preston Holman, this whole group of seniors, a lot of them were on that regional team two seasons ago when they lost to Brown City in the finals. So this is a team that has tons of experience in the postseason. And, you know, that first year against Brown City, that was a incredible Brown City team. I don't think there's anything Deckerville could have done to win that game.
Yep.
But you get that experience. Now, last year, you finally break through. You get that regional title. We were at that game. It was a instant classic. You know, they beat Portland St. Patrick. And then, you know, you're in the semifinal against a team that nobody was going to beat in Adrian Lanaway Christian.
By the way, that was a 34-32 win for Deckerville over Portland St. Patrick.
Yes. And then now this year you go into the regional finals and you win 40-6. So now for this senior group, the next step is let's win the semifinal game. And, you know, they have the experience. They've been tested. They've played an incredible schedule. That Lincoln Alcona game, I think, proved to be pretty important, because when you look at this Mendon team, this Mendon team, not only have they beat some of the best teams in the state, they've done it in dramatic fashion, Eddie. They have been battle tested the past 2 weeks, obviously, you got to start with Martin. I mean, they beat the defending state the two-time defending state champion Martin, and they scored as time expired to win that one.
That was JT Lux scoring the touchdown, giving Mendon their regional championship over Martin.
Yeah, and you look at the week before when they play Climax Scotts. Now, during the regular season, Climax Scotts was the only team that beat Mendon. And so you come back in the playoffs, you play that team again. Mendon beats them by a score. Mendon scored with 5 seconds left in the game to win that one.
Yep.
So this is a team, you know, if it really comes down to it, they've been in that situation before. And I think that's why that Lincoln Alcona game was so important for Deckerville. Because, yes, you were tested in that Brown City game. But that was quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
Then
you had Alcona, though.
Exactly. Yeah, that's why the Alcona
season strong.
Yeah,
and Alcona lost.
Right.
Yeah, the Indian Lakes.
Yes.
So, you know, they're out of the picture now.
Yep. At this point in the season, every team that's left is very, very good. This Menden team on paper is a very scary team.
They're a beast, and we'll go through that. Menden marched all the way down to the doorstep of Martin's end zone, got in, took a handoff, secured the football, went his way into the end zone as the time expired, and Menden's just getting a big win over the two-time state champions.
Yeah,
and of the Martin.
We saw that Martin team, was it, what, 3 years ago now when they played Brown City? Or 2 years ago.
Yep.
I still say that was probably the best eight-player team that I've ever seen. So when you see Menden knock off a Martin team that has had incredible success, that kind of raises your eyebrows a little bit.
And Menden's defense had to come up with a fourth down stop of Martin deep in its own territory, and they did. And the Menden Hornet defense got up, stopped the Clippers from potentially being able to ice the game. They could have, but it was a big fourth down stop, turnover on downs for Menden to score that comeback touchdown to get the win over Martin. And this is why. Martin had a 8-0 lead at the 10:55 mark in the second quarter. Menden would respond with a 3-yard TD from Ryder Gorman before JT Lux added the conversion to make it 8-8. That was the score at halftime. In the third, Menden took a 14-8 lead. Owen Gorham, 40 yards for a score. Possessions later, Lux carried for an 84-yard touchdown, and they were missed. The conversions were missed on both of those touchdowns. Menden led 20-8 in this game before Martin came back. They scored near the end of the third, added the touchdown with a conversion in the fourth to take a 22-20 lead as well. So they scored at the end of the third quarter and added a touchdown in the fourth to take a 22-20 lead. But the Clippers also led in total offense, 392 yards to 359. Menden rushed for 349 yards on the ground, gaining 185 from Owen Gorham, 147 yards from JT Lux, and 16 from Ryder Gorham, who also completed a 10-yard pass to Grant Crotster, I do believe. This is a good Menden team, obviously. Here they are, state semifinal. Looking at their stats for the season, they've got a pretty good balanced game as well. Not as much passing. 31 of 46 passing, 527 yards passing. They have six touchdowns, two interceptions. Rushing-wise, 4,633 rushing yards on 404 carries and on 80 touchdowns.
80 touchdowns, Eddie. Wow. It's a pretty daunting number. And, you know, when you look at their schedule, there were a few. I think they scored 80 against Concord, and they scored 87 against Adrian Lenaway Christian. But they are doing it against some pretty good programs, and it's not necessary. I think maybe they were running up the score a little bit on Lenaway Christian, but you know, they're putting up these numbers against good football teams, Eddie. These aren't empty numbers. So. It's a pretty daunting task, but Deckerville has been playing incredible run defense all season.
Yeah.
Now, when they played Bay City All Saints, it was the passing game that beat them. You could kind of say the same thing against Alcona. Alcona did a little bit better running the ball, but it'll be a huge matchup for this Deckerville defense.
They got a lot to stop here.
Yes.
The quarterback, Ryder
Gorham. When you have 80 touchdowns, yes.
Ryder Gorham, the quarterback, pretty good quarterback, can run the ball, can pass pretty good. Doesn't pass as much compared to Deckerville stats. That's fine, you know.
Especially, well, yeah, why would you need to pass when you have 4,000 rushing yards?
And he has rushed for 509 rushing yards as a quarterback, seven touchdowns on the ground. But their leading rusher, Owen Gorham, Junior, 2,114 yards in 11 games, 177 carries, 42 touchdowns. Here's the guy to stop.
42 touchdowns.
Yeah. The second leading back, JT Lux, Junior, 95 carries, 1,160 yards, and 14 touchdowns. Their quarterback, as I said, 509 yards. Three-headed monster right there in rushing game. And then have a sophomore who's rushed for about 402 yards, eight touchdowns as well. I love his last name as well. Xavier Zinmaster.
Okay.
So
Zinmaster.
Zin's Master, yeah, that's okay. What they're calling him. He has 402 rushing yards, 8 touchdowns. And they have another sophomore for 250 yards for 4 touchdowns. Man, they've got a lot on the to stop here for Dackerville.
Yes.
And for especially for an 8-player team to rush for that many yards, quite astounding.
Yes.
They can pass if they have to, but yes, it's been all run here for their 4,633 yards. This is a flip of a coin. I don't know who's going to win this one.
I'm interested to see what the offensive game plan is going to be for Dackerville. Because when we saw them against Adrian Lenawee Christian last year, when it was a fairly close game at the beginning of the game, and you could tell the game plan for Dackerville was ball control. Long sustained drives, power football, keep the ball away from Adrian Lenawee Christian. Now, with Mendon, is this a team that you need to keep the ball away from? Yeah, obviously. But this Dackerville offense is also really, really good, Eddie. I mean, they obviously don't have 80 touchdowns and 4,000 rushing yards. But if this turns into a game where they have to go back and forth and, they have to go score for score, I think that's definitely something Dackerville can do. And if you look at the Mendon defense, not quite as impressive as the Dackerville defense.
Yeah, they've scored 673 points.
That's impressive.
have allowed 244 points. Dackerville has scored 540, have allowed 164.
So, I mean, if you get into a shootout, I feel better about Dackerville's defense than I do Mendon. Obviously, the Mendon offense, very impressive numbers, very daunting numbers. But this Dackerville offense, we know what they're capable of. We know that they can rush. They can go out and rush for 400, 500 yards. We know what they're capable of. But again, Mendon knows they have to stop Hunter Garza. So who is it going to be? Is it going to be Parker Merriman? Is it going to be Brandon Solowitz? Is it going to be Ian Flanagan? Who's going to be the guy that steps up on offense for Dackerville this week?
By the way, also, last year's state semifinal, who went to the state final, Lenawee Christian, that's who Mendon beat this year, too.
They scored 87 points on
87
them.
To 30 was the final score. They beat Climax Scotts in the first round on the regional, won the regional championship game last week against Martin, defending state champions, 26-22.
A little context on the Adrian game. Adrian Lenawee Christian lost everybody from last
year. They graduated everybody. Yeah.
I believe they finished 4-5 this year. Maybe there was a little bad blood there, scoring 87 on them. Obviously 87 points, incredibly impressive. But that's not the same Adrian Lenawee Christian as last season. But you're at home. You're playing at Dackerville. This is what they worked so hard for all season, was to have this game in Dackerville on Saturday, because everybody in Dackerville is going to be at that game. And, it's hard to win in Dackerville in November, and teams are figuring that out. And, you almost get a little anxious about it, because it's something we've talked about all season, even in the preseason. Dackerville, the goal was to work all season and win all these big games just so you could have this moment right here, and they got it. So I'm not nervous about it, Eddie. Yeah. I guess anxious might be the best word for it, but I'm really excited about this game. I'm kind of excited to see Mendon. I want to see what their offense looks like. But really, I'm excited for Dackerville. I'm excited for Bill Brown to have the opportunity to get back to that state championship game. And it should be a great day.
All right. And they can run the ball. Dackerville, 413 carries, 3,371 yards to date, 50 touchdowns. Passing-wise as well, they have passed for 848 yards passing, 51 of 87 attempts. and have thrown for 11 touchdown passes, 4 interceptions for the Decker Eagles. Hunter Garza, the principal passer of the game. And leading rusher also for the Decker Eagles. Rushing-wise, it is Hunter Garza, 1,488 yards. The quarterback, Parker Merriman, right next to him, about 1,003 yards to date through 11 games. 14 touchdowns for him. Garza, 26 rushing touchdowns. Brandon Salowich just kind of, you know, he hasn't really gotten that many carries, but when he does, he's pretty explosive. He has 255 yards on 31 carries, 5 touchdowns. Chase Lamont, 248 yards. Parker McCoy, 248 yards. Lamont with 3 touchdowns and 1 touchdown for McCoy. So
yeah, Salowich was a player that was used more on the offensive side of the ball at the beginning of the season. And then, of course, they used him in the Bay City All-Saints game. But that's a guy that you want going one way because he's a astounding linebacker, and that's somebody that you want going one way because you're going to need him if you're going to try and stop this Mendon offense.
And receivers, they do have Ian Flanagan, who caught a touchdown pass against Kingston. He has 230 yards receiving, 14 receptions, 3 touchdowns. Now, you lost one of your top leading catchers, Logan Martin. He is out for the season still. I thought he would be a game-time decision. Doctors didn't clear him, so I don't think he's going to play.
Okay.
I think he's done for the season, they're saying.
Okay.
Don't quote me, but that's what it seemed like.
We're not doctors, Eddie. We don't know that.
But he was your guy, and he hasn't been playing what, last three or four games here. So 6 touchdowns receiving for Logan Martin. So you lost that guy, but you do have Logan Shanks out there. He has 126 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. So we'll see if they're going to have to use that receiving game to really maybe offset Mendon's focus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it comes down to defense. I think this is going to be one on defense. Obviously, the offense is there for both teams. So whose defense is going to be able to step up and stop that offense?
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
I'm trusting Deckerville's defense. We've talked about Bill Brown. You got a great defensive coordinator on that sidelines too, and Dan Brown, and I'm sure he's cooking up something this week. So.
All right, that will be our game of the week. We have been following Deckerville throughout the playoffs. They are taking on the Mendon Hornets. They'll be a Saturday afternoon. Tune in around the 12:30 noon hour on WBGV 92.5 FM. And we're streaming online at sandlightbroadcasting.com for that game Saturday afternoon. The Mendon Hornets at the Deckerville Eagles. All right, good luck to all area teams in action, of course. We have talked about who's playing who. I'll actually be doing a game on Friday night on Thumb Chugger Sports. Armada taking on a tough team this week in their playoffs as well. I'll be out there with Jonathan Bisher. Pretty excited about that one. As Armada Tigers are looking for their first regional championship game, they are taking on Pontiac Notre Dame Prep. That is a Friday night game. Millington Cardinals are in action as well. And good luck to them. We talked about what they've done throughout the season. They're undefeated. One of the top teams. They're in the Big Thumb Conference now. It's nice to see them taking on some of those dream matchups. We hope to have more of those as well later on in the season. I hope we can continue to see. Everybody wants a Harbor Beach Millington matchup, don't they? But are we going to get it someday?
Maybe.
I hope we're going to get it.
Maybe.
So, by the way, the Millington game covered by Scott Bowlesby on WIDL 92.1 as Millington takes on Powamo Westphalia. That's a Saturday afternoon game kickoff at 1 p.m. We also have the Harbor Beach Pirates, Division 8. They are taking on Fowler. That is on the road. That will be on WLEW Sports, Saturday afternoon kickoff at 1 p.m. Their pregame starts at 12 noon. And then our game. It is the Deckerville Eagles hosting the Mendon Hornets on Saturday afternoon on 92.5. So coverage is really good out there. I know all the sports writers from the Thumb Sports Writers Association are going to be covering these games as well.
Yep.
They're covering volleyball right now as we speak, and then football Friday and Saturday night. So pretty exciting.
It really is. Yeah. I mean, all we can do now is wait, and it kind of sucks that we got to wait for a few more days for this matchup because, just talking about it and talking to Coach Brown over the weekend, it's just I'm ready to cover it, man. I'm excited for it.
Yeah. And the winner moves on to the Division I State Championship game. That takes place at the Superior Dome.
Who's on the other side? I know Inland Lakes is, and
yeah.
I know we don't look past any opponent.
Yeah, we don't want to.
We're not doing that.
We're trying not to do that. But
I'm just curious.
The winner moves on.
Yes.
To the Division I state championship game taking place at the Superior Dome, Marquette, Michigan, at Northern Michigan University.
Yes.
In Division I, Indian River Inland Lakes takes on Pickford in the other state semifinal in Division I.
Okay.
Of 8-player football.
Okay.
So, yeah, and that's a Saturday game as well. So. We're going to be following that game along as best as we can.
Yes.
So, who will move on to the next round, we'll find out. And we'll be right back here on Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM. And Mike Gallagher has one more sports note to make of that deals with the PEC school's athletic departments. When we come back here on Thumb Sports Line on WMIC 95.3 FM and streaming online at CNIBroadcasting.com, click the Listen Live link. It's Thumb Sports Line. We'll be right back.
Make wash day a breeze with the help of Croslex Laundry and Tanning, 37 Ward Street in Croswell. They feature high-efficiency washers and super hot dryers, like a 60-pound washer that washes 6 loads in a short amount of time. Turn your laundry day into laundry hour. And, of course, you can take advantage of tanning specials, too, at Croslex Laundry and Tanning, next to the railroad tracks in Croswell. Open Monday through Friday, 7 to 7, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 6. Bonnie and Eric salute the high school football teams for their fine accomplishments and wish them the best of luck.
Game time is here, and EBS Broadband and Thumb Cellular are proud sponsors of Sanilac Broadcasting's high school sports coverage. They're local, family-owned businesses dedicated to keeping you connected, whether you're at home or on the move. Need smoother, faster internet? EBS Broadband has you covered. From work to gaming to streaming your favorite shows, EBS Broadband powers it all. Switch today and feel the difference that's built for everything you do. And for staying connected wherever you go, Thumb Cellular is your go-to cellular provider. With friendly service, top-notch devices, and coverage you can count on, Thumb Cellular has an unlimited plan to suit your needs. And it won't break the bank. Want to save even more? Combine EBS Broadband with Thumb Cellular for a great partner services discount. Now sit back and enjoy the game. And good luck to all of the athletes in tonight's game.
Now is the time to look over your health insurance. The Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency is prepared to address your health insurance concerns for the upcoming new year. This is the time to make an appointment with Grant Smith and his staff. With their experience and training, they will show you quality protection with affordable prices. Call the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency now. This is the agency who takes care of you.
The fall deadlines are upon us, and it's time to sign up for health insurance or review your policy. Do you know what is currently available, and did you pick the appropriate plan that fits your needs? Start with a phone call to the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency and make an appointment today. Be part of the growing family of people who rely on Grant Smith and his staff for affordable health insurance and year-round support. It's the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency.
Call 810-984-1373 or stop by today to make an appointment. 2916 Pine Grove Avenue in Port Huron. Again, call 810-984-1373 for the Grant Smith Health Insurance Agency.
Welcome back to WMIC 95.3 FM. It's Thumb Sports Line Radio Show, talking about high school sports in our Sanilac Broadcasting coverage area. We talk about all the high school football teams in action and just wrapped up with Deckerville. Now, Mike Gallagher, you have something to talk about the PEC school's athletic department.
I have one note for you, Eddie, and I'll be joining you tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, for the Morning Fury to talk about this more in depth. But for the people that aren't up at 8:30, like myself usually. I just wanted to mention the Pet Hall of Fame ceremony will be coming up on November 30th. Please, if you are interested in coming to this event, call the school. That phone number is 810-378-5200. That'll be November 30th. We'll be doing a ceremony and a dinner. If you'd like to come to the dinner, it'll be $25. That'll cover the dinner and the ceremony. If you'd like to just attend the ceremony, it's only $10. We're really excited about this. We've talked about who the inductees are going to be. We'll talk about that a little bit more tomorrow.
And you'll be able to watch that because we're going to put that on Facebook Live like I usually do with interviews.
Okay.
In studio. So,
okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll bring my varsity jacket then.
And all that info, by the way, for the ticket info, you can find that on the Peck Community Schools Facebook page as
yes,
well.
Yes, yep. And the dinner will be catered by Main Street, which we all know.
Yeah.
Great dinner, great catering. So it should be a fun event. You know, there's going to be a lot of, obviously, the 86 girls team, John Presnell, the 2013 football team, just a lot of Peck legends, you know. And so if you're interested in attending, please call the school at 810-378-5200. If you could give the school a call this week get your name down for a ticket for the dinner, for the ceremony, just so we can get like a general head count. So
again, that's 810-378-5200. 810-378-5200. It's like I'm doing swap shop.
I was going to say, yeah. I was going to ask you how many times we're supposed to say the phone number.
Three or four times.
Is there a sweet spot so that people remember it?
The sweet spot is that when I do it, is that the last time I said a number, because I say it real slow as you're writing. I actually pretend I'm writing as if I'm listening, right?
Oh, I see.
So that's my cadence, my speed on it.
Okay.
All right, and again, that info can be found on the Peck Community Schools Facebook page. But
We'll have Dr. Steve Sheridan. He will be doing the speech there. And then, obviously, all the inductees will have their opportunity to say some stuff to the people there. We actually had a meeting on Sunday, and we decided who of us on the committee will be introducing who. And I will be introducing Char Durand, which I'm pretty nervous about, actually.
Okay.
So,
all right.
So, I mean, if you want to come out, it should be a great night. That is November 30th. And just go ahead and give the school a call.
All right. Thank you, Mike Gallagher, Sand Lake County News. His edition of the Sand Lake County News out on Wednesday. Get your online edition or pick up your paperback edition as well. As we wrap up Thumb Sports Line, good luck to all our Thumb area teams in action. Thank you, Mike Gallagher.
Thanks, Eddie.
And thank you to the Thumb Sports Writers Association members, Scott Bosby, Tuscola County Advertiser, Paul Adams of the Huron County View, Huron Daily Tribune, Tom Green. We also want to thank Quad and Productions. They take all the great pictures out there of our area athletes. Follow them on Facebook. We want to thank Miller Sports Time, Ben Miller out there.
Yep.
Our media, our live media, myself here on Sand Lake Broadcasting, Thumb Togetter Sports, Jonathan Bisher. We also got WLW Sports from Clark Ramsey as well.
Yep.
And the Let's Talk Sports guys who help out behind the scenes and on air on 92.1, Chris Wilcox, Kristen Salek, and also another backbone to the TSA, Ashley Wayner Palmer.
Yeah, we actually had our football meeting last week, and nobody was injured or killed, so another great meeting. I think we decided things pretty civilly.
All right, thank you for tuning in. The Thumb Sports Line folks, we'll see you at the games. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, buddy.